And I'm back with you now. Hey, let me ask you a couple of questions, my friends. You know, you sometimes think that you sometimes think that you're in control of everything, that you make your choices, that things are fine, you know, that you're just making all of your choices based on what you're aware of and what your mind tells you. But, you know, your mind is not the best choice always, and it's not the thing that's running everything. It's not. I mean, let me give you an example of that. I've learned, it's sometimes exhausting to me to keep learning things about different things about research and science and so on and so forth. I recently did some research with some people on migraine headaches, and we found that part of what was given as a medication for migraine headaches was something that when combined, the two medication when combined had an FDA warning out as saying it was dangerous to your well-being because it causes a thing called serotonin syndrome. Whoever heard of serotonin syndrome? Leave me alone. Serotonin syndrome. Don't I know enough about stuff? Well, how about this one? How about a dopamine syndrome? How about a prolactin syndrome? Oh, my gosh. And why do we have to know about this? Why can't we just, you know, have a slice of pizza and go to sleep? This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. So it seems that there's more and more information that we learn all the time. And let me see. Oh, it seems that we have a little engineering difficulty here, my friends. I'm going to have to get right back to you. And we're back with you, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, trying to bring you some interesting stuff. I see. I hope you're getting us kindly there. All right, here we are. I'm going back with you. I'm sorry for that, my friends. It's a little engineering difficulty. Sometimes we have that, especially after there's a long break with when there's a long break with us not being on air for a while. So here it is. I'm getting back to what I was going to say to you. And meanwhile, you had a chance to listen to Shadow Facts. So I'm going back to you about dopamine. I want to talk to you about dopamine. Dopamine is at the core of our sexual drives and our survival needs. Now, it's important to understand two things today, prolactin and dopamine. Dopamine, you've heard enough about it. By now, you must be sick of it. But, you know, we forget about it. We forget. You don't know how to say to yourself, oh, I feel a drop in dopamine. You don't know. You don't know what that means. Or I feel a raise in prolactin. You don't know what that means. You don't. Because we just somehow, we are meant to not be aware of these hormones as they operate. For example, with premenstrual syndrome, with those who get premenstrual syndrome, whether you're a man or a woman, whenever you get these kind of thing, you know, if you get this kind of reaction, you really believe that the reaction comes from the outside. The house is dirty and that's what disturbs you. The people are annoying you and that's what bothers you. But what's happening is a tremendous hormonal shakeup on the inside that's sending you into a primitive place of being that tells you, you know, you've got to survive, you've got to get through, you've got to do this. Well, all of these hormones make commands. And I want to tell you something about prolactin that I discovered that I thought you'd find fascinating. One part of about prolactin is that, do you know, it accounts for why men turn over and go to sleep after sex. What is it? Where does this prolactin come from? Who ever heard of prolactin? I thought prolactin is what mothers use to nurse babies. No, it's not true. Prolactin is a kind of hormone that is secreted to build up the breast milk in women. But when a woman gives birth, her prolactin kind of goes backwards so the baby can milk. But when the baby sucks on a nipple, it triggers the prolactin again so that the person could replenish their milk supply. So prolactin is triggered by nipple sucking. Now that becomes a very interesting concept when you think about sex in general. Let's think about this. Let's think about what happens. Let's think about what happens during sex when people have an orgasm, and then according to what I've learned, the prolactin raises. Here we go. Studies at two German universities found that the hormone prolactin may dampen sexual arousal after orgasm, signaling the body that it's had enough. Here's what the idea is. According to nature, you're not supposed to have sex and then lay around with each other and have sex again. And then you're not supposed to do that. According to nature, the best way to for the species to survive is for the man to have sex and then for him to get distracted, to go off, to leave. That's nature's command, is that it gives you... Prolactin doesn't feel good. Prolactin's not a good feeling. It makes you feel lethargic. It makes you feel... Do you ever wonder why some people cry after sex? Did you ever wonder some men out there who think after they have sex they feel miserable? They'll never admit it, but some people feel depressed. They feel despair. They feel kind of nervous and despairing, but they can't admit this. How do you tell somebody who you just had sex with, I feel depressed? But it happens, and it happens as a result of prolactin, and it happens as a combination of an interaction between prolactin and dopamine. And why do we want to learn about this? We want to learn about it because the more we learn about ourselves, the more we get an idea of what we're in command of and what we're not in command of. You know, I mean, could you say to somebody after you have sex with them, can you say, I had sex with you, and you say, oh, you know, I just hate the way you smell to me. But that may be the prolactin working. You know, you may not have noticed it when you wanted to have sex, but you might notice it after you have sex because everything changes. It regulates dopamine. Now, what the prolactin does is it kind of turns down the dopamine, and it turns it down. Now, after orgasm, women experience prolactin. Right? They increase their prolactin, and men do. And that the dopamine kind of goes away. Now, dopamine's a good-feeling thing. Okay? Now, all addictive substances increase dopamine. In fact, that's why they're addictive. We love dopamine. Oh, dopamine is such a wonderful thing. Dopamine leads to all kinds of good feelings. You know, you get... You get dopamine from computer games. You get dopamine from heroin. You get dopamine from smoking cigarettes. You get dopamine from orgasm. You get dopamine from French fries. Eating a big blast of French fries, caloric, high-fat foods. You know, you get a lot of dopamine from that. You may believe that you love ice cream, but you really love the blast of dopamine you get when you eat that fatty, sugary substance, you know. Of course it feels good. You're genetically programmed to seek out these foods, you know, because they turn into fat because this helps you have reserves. So your body wants to have these foods, and it rewards you by making you have a dopamine increase every time you have them. It just makes so much sense. With dopamine as a driving force, biology has designed you to engage in fertilization behavior to make more babies. And the way it makes you make more babies is it drives you towards sex, it drives you towards love, but then it drops away the minute you have sex. Orgasm. Now, what good would that do? What good that would do is it would send the male to not repeating, but actually going off and finding another mate, which is nature's way. Blame the prolactin. I wonder if that would be a good defense in a court. You know, I just had too much prolactin, so I had to leave my wife and go find somebody else who could give me some dopamine. I don't think it would hold up. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So we learn about things, we learn about it more and more. The prolactin connection is fascinating. There's so much more about it I want to tell you, and then I want to talk to you about your own experience that may be related to this. The hormone so remember that prolactin pushes down dopamine, right? So dopamine feels good. Dopamine is responsible for sexual arousal. So now, what is sexual refractory? Now, refractory is what men supposedly go through. Refractory means you refract, you pull back, you fall off the edge. Men are very excited, they have sex, many men, not all men, they have an orgasm, and boom, they go to sleep. How could that have happened? How could you go from such a high level of excitement to such an absence of excitement? Nature built it that way. You're not a bum. You're not a bad guy. It's just your chemistry. You can't imagine how many men I see who feel guilty for having fallen asleep. How many women wake up their husbands, wake up. Wake up, you're falling asleep. All you wanted was sex. Wake up. You know, and you think it's an emotional conflict. You think the man's not interested in you anymore. But he's prolacticized. You know what I mean? And it seems to be it's not... I don't know. It's not anybody's fault. But the more you learn, the better it is. What's the better thing to do? If you understand about prolactin, right? You sidle up next to your honey. You let him sleep a little bit. Bring it all back. Give him a dish of dopamine. Hey, let's have some dopamine. You know, we'll have a pot full of French fried dopamine. Nice idea. The amount of prolactin can be an indicator for the amount of sexual satisfaction and relaxation. High amounts are suspected to be responsible. If you get too much prolactin, and some people do, you just completely lose all interest in sex afterwards. I mean, completely, it's gone for a good period of time. Now, during pregnancy, there are different levels of it for different people, which is why some people are able to breastfeed and some people are not able to breastfeed. They find that connected to prolactin. They test for prolactin. Early pregnancy, there are tests for it to see. There's a prolactin receptor that they test for, but it's kind of important to understand. Here's another thing about prolactin that's kind of important. When people are bulimic, it results in an increase in prolactin. Now, what is it like to be filled with prolactin? Well, you're kind of depressed. You feel kind of sad. You feel angry, irritable, but not acting out, just kind of annoyed. You know, just kind of an annoying, kind of non-connected, stay away from me kind of feeling. A prolact person. You know, I mean a person who is highly, and there are different levels of it. There's a condition called hyperprolactinemia, called prolactinemia. It's when you have too much of it. And that seems to be the result of some medications that people take for psychosis. Because what these medications do is they seem to drop dopamine, you know, and what in effect, when you drop the dopamine, the prolactin comes up almost like it's going to defend you. And so some people who get this have a high level of prolactin, and therefore they lose their sexual drive. You know, keep in mind, what prolactin does is it takes you away from sex. It's over. How about guys, you know, I don't know how many people talk about it, but practically every man I know at some point in his life masturbated to go to sleep. Sometimes we think about masturbation as a sexual act, you know, because it involves sexual parts. You know, it's barely a sexual act when somebody is masturbating to go to sleep. They just do anything. Or a woman with a vibrator. Is that a sexual act? Sure, no matter what you think of, you may think of your lover, you may think of your friend, but the real thing is you just want to have the orgasm, and once you have the orgasm, boom, off to sleep, you know? Prolactin, right? When you have this prolactin, you lose interest in everything and you kind of go off. But now if you stay awake when you have a high level of prolactin, you don't feel good. You don't feel good. And very often keeping somebody awake when after they're post-orgasmic may be a mistake. Trying to have a conversation. Why are you going to sleep now after we just made love? I want to talk to you. May be a mistake. Maybe you need a little time in between. You just need time in between to have a person have kind of go through whatever their cycle is, you know, stuff we don't understand. There is so much stuff we don't understand about ourselves. It's like even I was talking about some of the reaction of drug to drug that results in the serotonin syndrome. There are other things I watched. I know people who sleep to TV. Now, I know you've heard a lot of noise about, or a lot of advice about, don't fall asleep to the television. You have no idea what effect this has. Falling asleep to a flashing television is such a poor idea, my friends. What it does to you chemically is sinful. What it does to you, and I really mean that, I mean, it's like, I know you feel like it's your friend and you go to sleep, and we're gonna take your calls and talk about some of this stuff, but you put it on the TV, and you know, the television may have a movie on that you like, it's kind of mellow, but it does have, if you stood away from a TV, if a TV was in another room and you walked into the room, you'd see the room is getting light and dark and light and dark and light and dark. Well, even though the movie looks like it's kind of consistent, there is a flashing light that goes on all the time on televisions. Now, people who do advertisements, commercials, have learned to capitalize on those flashing lights because they learned that those flashing lights are associated with dopamine, believe it or not. They raise the dopamine in your brain. They make you kind of associated with feeling good. So what they do is they manipulate this so that you will hear the commercial because the commercial is associated with the flashing light and the flashing light is associated with the good feeling of dopamine while you're asleep. So there you are, feeling better, but because they're programming you. And during those moments, they send stuff right into your brain, including modulated voices. Do you ever notice how loud the TV gets when the commercial comes on? You know, it's so loud, and then they drop the sound, and then they raise the sound, and then they drop the sound. And when you lower your thing, they kind of raise the sound again on you. And it's all part of that manipulation of your brain. Now, I'm not saying this is a plot and it's meant to take over your mind, but it's advertising. You know, that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to study what makes people buy my product. So hopefully, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, they will play a commercial hoping that you've left your TV on and they're going to flash it back and forth in front of you and your poor brain, which you think is getting sleep, is not getting sleep. It's getting activated and manipulated. Shut off the TV, my friends. Shut it off. 1 o'clock in the morning. Get it off. Use the baby monitor. Use the child monitor, the thing that makes TVs go off automatically. There's a thing on every TV. It's a timer, yeah. It's a device. It says we'll shut off the TV exactly at 1 o'clock or any time, but just don't let it work on you. So I've had effects with people. There are people I know who suffered serious illnesses, had them change their sleep pattern, told them not to do this. Forget about snoring and apnea and all the other stuff. Just get off the TV, read a book, fall asleep. Believe it or not, the people who fall asleep to TV are very susceptible to tryptophan. Therefore, they, if they drink a glass of warm milk, they get tryptophan, and it actually helps them fall asleep immediately. Yeah, tryptophan. Tryptophan's that thing that makes you get sleepy. You know, you eat a turkey, turkey's got a lot of tryptophan in it, that's why you get sleepy around the holidays. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So turn off that TV. Shut it off. Shut it off. Don't let it flash on you overnight. Don't let it come after you. Don't let it keep awakening you and then doing that little thing to your mind, my friends. You're going to feel different. And if you feel like you're an insomniac and the only way you get through your insomnia is to watch TV, you'll be amazed. Get yourself some kind of book that you could watch. Just get away from the flashing lights. Read. Read if you can. And then drink some warm milk, and you'll see yourself drifting off to sleep. Now, the second thing, very, very important, do not eat sugar at night. We found that sugar also activates enough of the hormonal system that you become wired. Sugar gives you a certain period of time. You can get like 80 minutes out of sugar. And then it wakes you up to get more sugar. Do not eat sugar. I found in my own studies, anything, fruit, anything you think is sugar, it's all, anything with sugar in it, do not have it. You want to have a little toast, you want to have some cereal, you want to have butter, go do that. But stay away from sugar. Stay away from sugar, because sugar at night, and usually insomniacs combine sugar and sleep together, and TV together, you know. They can't fall asleep, so they have a little bite, they fall asleep watching the TV, they wake up, they have another bite, they go to the refrigerator, they have something, and they think it's small, you know, I'll just have a piece of fruit, but it works the cycle. Get off that cycle, my friends, and you'll find your body changing, because the idea here is for you to understand yourself a little better. One of the things you want to understand is your prolactin, your dopamine, running your life. There's so much more. There is so much more to learn about. And here's it. I wish I could just get you curious enough. We're living in an amazing world. The amazing world is a world of information. It's sad to think that you do not have the information. Somebody sent me a video of a street fight. I grew up with street fights. I know what street fights are like. And I was watching this video of a street fight, and I was watching people in the middle of a summer beating each other up, and they were just beating and hurting each other. It was on YouTube. And I looked at it, and I felt I was watching with a friend, and we said, how sad. How sad to have so little information, to not know what's really motivating you, to not know what's creating this violence, to have no sense of it. We have a chance to know ourselves and to know all the information. We have a chance to understand ourselves. You have a chance to understand that if you get bent out of shape, don't make up excuses for it. Don't blame the other guy. Don't even blame yourself. Just look and see what's happening inside you. Look, I'm a shrink. I would love to give you psychological causes for everything. I would love to. I would love to say the reason that you're blurting out that anger in the middle of the night is because your father treated you bad or something like that. But the truth of it is, it may be your amygdala. It may be you're just getting electrical charges being sent to your amygdala. I mean, I know, but you have to learn. You learn about everything. You don't take a prejudice against everything. Of course, I'm against medications in general, but medications may be an easier way to go than beating up your children. You know, you may be doing less damage that way. So learn about the chemistry, and learn about the chemistry of everything you do. Don't take a single thing, not one herb, not one thing, no matter who recommends it. If you don't mind, I don't mean to stand on a soapbox, but don't get them without looking them up. Look it up. If you take Ma Wang, you know, or some Chinese herb, make sure you know how that's going to interact with something else that you're taking, because it has serious interactions. If you take St. John's wort, you have to be real careful because St. John's wort is a very potent drug. It raises serotonin. You could get so much serotonin, you could get this thing called serotonin syndrome. You don't want to be doing that. So everything, not that you shouldn't take it. I don't know much about it. I mean, from everything I've seen, it raises serotonin, but I'm not sure if that's exactly where you want to go. So this is Armand DeBille with you with a positive mind. Information, 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 more information day by day. I wish there were time to just sit with you and show you what it's like to explore a subject. I mean, here we lucked on prolactin today, and now you could see me and my researchers are just kind of, all right, here's a new thing, here's prolactin, let's go learn about it. We're not the specialists, we're not the physicians, but no, we want to learn. We want to learn and present it to you as best we can, and if sometimes we talk through our hats, it's because we're doing the best we can. And we may take some shortcuts, and it may be, we may not be totally accurate, but we're trying. And if you could correct me and you want to teach me something, please feel free to do it. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. I live in an exciting environment. The exciting environment is an environment of learning. Every day I am learning. Every day I am researching. Every day I am finding out something new, and I wish you could too. Finding out things about myself, finding out things about my own emotions, I'm seeing myself, and I'm seeing the world. So it's an exciting world. Hey, listen, we still are putting out a call for students. Now, I meant to mention, I know I've got quite a few calls from people who wanted to volunteer. The volunteer we're looking for is a student, somebody who's in school, who's studying psychology or social work. Thank you so much to the other generous offers we had from other people, but we want somebody who is learning about the field, because that's the goodie. The goodie is to be learning about the field, and instead of just being in a class, to be able to see it going on around you and being a part of it. So we're still putting out our call to volunteers to help us with our project, which is mostly administrative, but it's for students of psychology and social work or mental health, because we would like to continue doing this with you. We would like to continue having somebody around and new people around who want to learn. In a little while, we're going to take a short break, and after we take our short break, we're going to be coming back with you, and we'll be taking your calls at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We wanted to, is that the one I'm looking for? I'm looking for one more piece. Here it is. Prolactin. There it is. Here it is. Now get this one. Last piece of information. Do women cry more than men? The answer is yes. Is that because men are not supposed to cry? The answer is no. As babies and children, they cry about the same on average. But do you know that women's tear ducts are shaped different than men's tear ducts? And women's tear ducts are shaped more like an oval. And that they can have an easier effect at crying. Now, if you take a tear and you look into a tear, what do you think you find? What do you think you find if you examine a tear under a microscope? You know what's in it? Prolactin. Yep, tears are made primarily of prolactin. So look at this. Here we are, prolactin, a thing that makes you feel miserable, or it makes you feel not so hot, or it makes you go to sleep. And if you cry, it comes out in your tears. So do you ever know any women who cry after sex? Look at that system. Look at how amazingly efficient that is. Women have 5 times as many tear ducts as men. Now that's kind of amazing. So who are we going to do? Are we going to blame men for not crying? We don't know what we're going to do. We're just still trying to figure it out. 212-209-2900. We're going to take a short break. When we come back from our break, we'll play a little music, and then we will continue. Short break now, Reggie. Well, there is a Reggie. Oh, there you go. Go ahead, Reg. WBAI 99.5 FM. I'll do it, Reggie. 1:30 p.m. here at WBAI 99.5 FM. Reggie's helping us out today because we had because Michael G's not with us today, and I'm going to play a little music out here, here, friends. Here, this is from Bluebird.
When I woke up, all you called was the shade on my hat, on my face. Mom was all angry, but it's rain in my ways. Pain's engraved in my physical days, invisible ways. Like a physical strain for my individual ways. Meanwhile, I'm not fulfilled. This feeling should not be still. Rewind time and revitalize, but it can't serve you to feel. Docile, if you so will, fragile, then go downhill. Making one forgetting time, that time to be refilled. They say if you snooze, you lose. I say my day, day's confused. Because I blaze all day, unfaith, and that's no news. It is new to you. And the blues only used to be running mascara. I refuse. Closed doors prevent outside of some doing. But struggling alone makes the tougher pursuing dreams. But it seems hard. I get a sleepless nights. Now there's our losing loved ones and losing fight. Blue birds flew over the fields of sorry. As a lip is spinning the drain, watching the soul swallow. Left you for more. Left the wrong kind of woman in the fall. A lot more room.
Bluebird by oneself. Bluebird. So here's a little more study on this prolactin stuff. We were talking about Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We were talking about prolactin and orgasm and how orgasm leads to a secretion, an increase of prolactin, which can lead to a kind of a miserable mood. Now, how does that, when I say miserable mood, it says, you know, kind of despairing, just a bad feeling. And this is, I tell you, my friends, it's more often, it happens more frequently than you know, and the people don't understand why they feel bad. They felt so good. I think Reggie's mic is open. They felt good, but now they don't feel so good, you know. Now, women also report, in addition to post-orgasmic headaches, which they sometimes had, sometimes following a passionate encounter, both men and women with increased prolactin become really nasty, and they get this high increase of depression, anxiety, hostility. And this is also another sign of it. So, you know, you would think great sex, you know, great sex leads to a great feeling, and the evidence is that no, you know, great sex may not lead to this. That me, really, people, just think about sexual addicts. Think about people who are addicted to sex. What's really going on with them? You know, the people who have to have sex over and over and over again, and they can't stop, and they must have it. What's going on for them? You know, what's happening? I mean, in between, they must be getting this sinking mood, and the only way they could reclaim themselves is the only way they can get this dopamine back up is to go back on the search. So, you know, it's like we're all junkies. It's like we get caught in this thing. So there's a natural cure for the problem. Natural cure for the problem is, according to some of the Taoists, to have sex without orgasm. That's what some people do, you know. And a lot of people do that. They call it tantric sex. And they have a way of, you know, they have sex and they never have the orgasm. And they keep the orgasm back. So it keeps the dopamine high, you know, and it keeps the prolactin back from coming in. So that's one thing. And those people have found very peaceful kind of relationships, people who have sex without orgasm. It's usually, but those are people who are already, you know, studying Eastern philosophy. So they have a peaceful bent anyway. So now, do not take a pill to counter the effects of prolactin, which is what many people do. And when people feel bad, they take a pill to wake themselves up. They take a cup of coffee. They do something to get the effect of it. Instead, respect your body's rhythm. Let yourself go through it, you know, and discover how you can be a little more attentive and yet more forgiving of the people who will have this reaction when they have this reaction. It could be kind of fun. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls. 212-209-2900. There's a lot we talked about today, but mainly we're talking about hormones. And we're talking about some of those things that control us that we don't know about. And, of course, we are talking about sleep, insomnia, and things like that. Hi, let's take a call. You're on the air. Hello there.
Armand?
Yes.
It's Leora.
Hello, Leora.
I want to honor you in showing my gratitude and gratefulness for your inspiring momentum of attitude in terms of learning. To discover knowledge and to discover wisdom not only gives you information, but it also makes you have a shift in your whole perception and transformation. And when you were talking about learning and discovering, you watered that aspect of me, and I had to say that, and I've had to share this with the audience, that it's not just information, something else. Would you like to talk about something else very profound happens when you wake up each morning and say, what am I going to discover today that is going to discover myself at the same time?
How beautiful, Leora. How beautifully said. Thank you for calling in, by the way.
You're welcome.
I'm going to follow up on that. And we will take another caller. But, you know, Leora does make the point. You wake up in the morning, and it's kind of funny. I wake up, and I wonder, you know, I sometimes have programs planned in advance. But if you think about it, for 18 years, there's been quite an average of at least, three times a week, considering times off, considering times that I've been doing marathons. But if you figure 18 years times three programs and three subjects a day, it's a lot of subjects. So if you look down the subjects, you wonder, I could look at them sideways and backwards, and I could, you know, turn them upside down and revisit them. But mainly, the main thing is there's new information out there. So I'm learning as fast as I can, and I'm glad you're using us as a resource for you to learn, because one of the ways you do it is through this program. But wow, it's such an exciting thing, not just for the mind, for the body, for everything. 212-209-2900. Let's take another caller. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Oop, I think we lost one. 212-209-2900. Whenever you're ready, Reggie. 212-209-2900.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Armand, how are you?
Good, good, good. Are you in good. The
Well, I hope you can hear me while I'm driving, but I'm not using the phone. I have the hands-free thing.
It's pretty difficult to do hands-free over the radio. I don't know. We'll try our very best to talk.
Okay.
Keep your windows shut, and let's see what we can do.
I just called a little bit. I heard you talking about hormones, and I was also talking about tantric sex. So I thought I would call and see if you can give me any information about L-arginine. I know it's an amino acid, but it does have an impact on sex, so I guess it affects the hormones in some way.
Yeah, no, I know, and no, I don't have enough information about it, but sure as all hell, we'll look it up. You know a little bit about it, don't you?
Well, you know, through Gary Noll in marathon training, I began to take it, and I noticed it affected my sexual response as well.
In a good way or in a bad way?
No, in a good way. In a good
way. Let me ask you something, since you're here on the radio. After you have sex, when you have an orgasm, do you feel the drop-off? Do you feel like you want to go to sleep, or do you feel like you want to get away a little bit?
No, often I don't, because I am definitely, although not a practicing tantric or Buddhist-type person, I do practice excessive peace and joy in my life. So I usually find sexual release to be exhilarating and calming.
But you don't find yourself going to sleep afterwards or feeling a little restless?
No.
Right, so it may be the arginine. Good. Well, thank you for calling in. I can't stay on the phone with you because the hands-free microphone, I'm getting signals from some of my engineers that it's very difficult to hear you this way. So thank you for calling in. What's your name? I guess he didn't call. Yeah, that's what I thought. 212-209-2900. Such good people out there. You see, they're all the ones who want to learn. I got calls from 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds who are doing research, who are sending me information. And if you have a question, you know, be sure to send it to me at armand@thepositivemind.com. Hi there, you're on the air.
Good. My first time I've ever gotten through.
Good. You've tried before.
I'm going to tell you something. Then I'm going to hang up. I want to hear your explanation of it. This only happened to me.
Don't tell me something and hang up.
Huh?
Because then it sounds like we're having sex and you're running away.
Stay on the phone with me
when you tell me.
Armin, this is Richard. Are you speaking to Richard?
Yeah, I'm speaking to you, Richard.
Don't
get off the phone after you tell me something.
Okay. A long time ago, I was dating a wonderful, wonderful woman, and that's a whole other story, but one evening, we were together after a brief absence over the Thanksgiving holiday, and we made love. And at one point, it felt like her body and my body had kind of come together as one. She started to cry and asked me what was happening. And I could not explain it. I said, I didn't know, but I felt it as well. And at the conclusion, it was kind of mystical. And like I said, it never happened again. Never happened with my former wife, and it was just such a, it was almost like an out-of-body experience, and it really, I'll never forget it, and I tell people this, and they look at me like I'm nuts, but that's what happened.
Sure. Now, Richard, can you imagine that because of a number of different factors, that you were in a heightened kind of mood, she was in a heightened mood, the two of you matched together, and then something happened, and let's say that which happened was neurochemical. Let's just say it was. Now, we want to put, you know, everybody wants to put a beautiful little picture on it, and they say, you fell in love, it's true love or something. But let's say there's a neurochemical kind of glue that sets in. And let's say you had a raise in your dopamine and a...
Armand, I'm going to have to hang up because I'm having trouble hearing you, so I'll listen if that's all right with you.
Oh, I was going to ask you a question. Okay, go
ahead. Okay, go ahead.
No, you hang up. Go ahead, hang up.
Okay.
Hang up. So there is a bonding, one of our great bonding hormones called oxytocin, which when it gets secreted and when it gets in there and we get high in oxytocin, we feel wonderful. I mean, it is a bonding bond. But does it mean that just because you have a high oxytocin, you should marry the person? You know, is that what it means? Does it mean that you should you should marry the person, that you should, you know, that just because you have this kind of a reaction, that you're, it's true love? People like to call true love everything. And mostly what they call true love is the same thing, like, you know, I love ice cream. Well, of course you love ice cream because you get this dopamine when you eat ice cream. I'm not saying love doesn't exist, but we romanticize our hormonal reactions. We feel things. And then when we feel them, we could either make them a big negative, right? Like we could feel something bad and then we could aim at somebody and say, it's your fault that I feel bad. Or we could romanticize our good feelings too. We could feel something good and then we turn around and feel something good and we turn towards somebody and say, it was you who made me feel good. But mostly what I'm saying is try to become aware that most of these feelings take place inside of you, in the presence of the other person. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hey, Armand.
Hi there.
Can you hear me clearly?
Not too clearly, but who is this?
How about now? Is that better?
Barely. Can you hear?
Well, I'm sorry. I'll try to speak up if you can hear me. I have
sure.
a major problem at the moment, and it's sort of, I'll try to parlay it into what your conversation has been about.
But don't even bother. Just tell me what the problem is directly so you don't have to go into the conversation, okay?
All right.
So instead of having to go around it.
I have a girlfriend who I am planning on spending the rest of my life with. Now, the problem now is, well, let me preface it by saying that I am divorced for a year technically, and my marriage 3 years ago. So I spent 3 years looking for her, and I found her 3 months ago after a long search. This I knew her from 8 years ago. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so we make love constantly, and it's very magical when we do it. It's a great experience. We've been very close. She stays over at my place, and we just have a great life. She loves my daughter, and my daughter loves her, and we've made plans for the future. And this past weekend on Friday, she is off on Saturday from work, and I picked her up from her friend's house at about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night on Friday night, because she left work on Friday with her friend to spend time with a friend and her friend's family that she's known forever, for years, since she was a little kid. She's 26 now. So I picked her up at her friend's house, and on the way back to her place to pick up her bags because she was coming to my place, she started detailing the story of how the parents and a friend picked her up at work, and she stuttered along through this story, and it was true. But in my head, I have trust issues from my past relationships. The way she detailed it, I felt she was giving me too many details, and she was stuttering through the story. So I was manifesting crazy thoughts in my head. And when we got near her place, she said, "What's the matter?" Because I was being silent. I said, "Would you ever lie to me about what you do?" And that really set her off. She ended up going in her apartment. She didn't want to talk to me. And she told me pretty much that she's not going to talk to me for a week. And I am suffering through this. I mean, I cried. Believe me, you talk about tear ducts. I couldn't stop crying for a day. And I don't know how to get her back to reasoning this out. I asked her. I said, "Please, I'll never do it again. I trust you." She said that she doesn't want to have a relationship with someone who doesn't trust her. And it set her off where now she's making me suffer for it. And in my opinion, and other people that I've talked to, friends and family, immature the way she's handling it. Instead of communicating, she's giving me space with communication. Are you there?
Yeah, I really hear it. You know, and there's so much to this story. What's your name?
Adam.
Adam? Adam, yeah. There's so much to the story that says, you know, I mean, at the very beginning, you talk about being lost in a sexual frenzy. You say, it's the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you talk about this passionate, terrific relationship that had as its basis this great passion. So in order for it to have passion, here's what I hear from you. I hear that you have spent most of your life slightly depressed.
Yes.
Right? I could hear that. And then, as a result, your slight depression, you meet somebody who is as energetic as your girlfriend is, and you're attracted to her energy and her passion. And when her energy and her passion, which is probably more than the average person's energy and passion, isn't that true?
And she has baggage to go with it. Her parents died when she was young.
Well, forget about the background for the moment. If we're describing her in the present, she is energetic, she is sexual, she's hot, she's alive, she's vibrant, right?
Right.
Now, that kind of person takes a person like you who's sliding into a depression coming out of a match that didn't work. It makes a person like you feel very good. And so now she's the antidote for your depression in a way. And now the two of you get together and your being depressed helps her stay grounded. It helps her stay on the ground. She likes the fact that you are a little bit laid back. And the two of you get together and you lather up a storm. It's wonderful. Now the trouble with this is behind all of that lathering, the craziness is hidden behind it. Your depression and her mania or her hypersensitivity is sitting behind it. So before the two of you make some decision like spending the rest of your life together and having babies, you run into a trial like this. Here you are, a suspicious man with a woman who does suspicious things, and here you are swearing you're going to give up your suspiciousness. You cannot make that promise. You're going to be suspicious because you are suspicious. And that's okay. It's okay to be suspicious. So you can't make promises like, I'll never do it again. But if she takes off because you question some of her realities and she doesn't want to see you again for a week and cuts you off completely, that's not necessarily sane behavior either. So your willingness to capitulate, to turn over your soul, to give everything so that she'll come back is crazy. Her desire to keep you at such a distance is crazy. And when I say crazy, I don't mean psychotic. I just mean like two neurotic kids running around the world trying to do the best they can, but they're just lost in this frenzy of trying to find some kind of love. So my advice to you, if I were to give you advice, don't be so desperate. Lay back. There's one thing about people who tend to be very excited and move away from, you know, who threaten to push you away. Sometimes when you pull away, they move towards you rather than, you know, always going towards them. Sometimes when you go towards somebody too much, like, you know, I had a friend who fell in love after never being in love, and he fell in love with somebody. And this somebody knew him as a big independent guy, and suddenly he's turning around and he's telling her how much he needs her and how much in love with her she is, and she gets sick of him. She just, you know, she doesn't want to go near him anymore because he became a wuss. You know, he became a guy who was not the guy she fell in love with. And she was, it actually, she said, how do I do this to everybody? I turn everybody into needing me this way. So he was just one of those guys who fall into that place. And, but, you know, he's a wise man. He catches himself like you're a wise man, and you probably catch yourself now. Do not sell your soul for this love. If there is a love to be had, it's had on common ground, not on the ground of capitulation. Do you hear me?
That not, she told me not to call her at work, not to call her at home. It's almost
something's
like she's
going on
me
that you don't know about. And, you know, I don't want to feed your paranoia, but something's going on. I mean, it's not a thing to do. So you could talk to all your friends, and all your friends will give you advice and say one thing or another. They'll all say she's bad and you're good. But you want the best advice, tell her, look, if you want to meet with a counselor, we'll meet with a counselor.
I told her that.
Yeah, so she doesn't want anything.
No, she said that would be a good idea, but she said still she needs space now because she doesn't think I trust her. She loves me, believe me.
That's right. Trust is overrated. Trust is overrated. You don't need to trust. You know, people prove whether they're trustworthy or not just by the way they are. You know, you don't have to really, really trust somebody. it's there. Truth is there. Honesty is there. Love is there. I wish you a lot of luck. I know you're in pain. If you need to see somebody, call me up. I'll find you a counselor.
I appreciate that.
Sure. It's one of those things, Adam. You're going through one of those things that people go through all the time, and my heart goes out to you because I see love, and I've said this before, like two people who are damaged little kids in a crawl space in a house. And they're both looking to find a connection, and they're crawling around, looking to see if there's anybody there. And luckily, if they see somebody who might be right, they reach out their hands, and they touch, and they feel that feeling of love. So,
thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. Armand DeMille here. I'm going to have to be going. I can see our time is up. We will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., bringing you more interesting stuff. My special thanks to all the people who helped me put this together week after week. Yes, love is not as simple as it sounds, my friends. Thanks, Reggie, for your help. I'm sure I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com.